All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Pop Culture Network Radio. It is October 4th, 2013. Woohoo! And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We are going to talk about more professional wrestling today. I got some great feedback from a lot of you guys who really enjoyed that. You know, plus we'll talk about some other stuff. It's not all wrestling stuff. So don't everybody who hate wrestling freak out and turn it off now. We are going to talk about some toys. We're going to talk about some game stuff, some comic stuff. We got a bunch of, you know, different stuff to talk about, but that's going to be a fair amount of what we're going to talk about today. And that's just because that's what you guys said you wanted. If you guys want more of something else, then you got to write in and let me know. I got emails, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Someone found me on Facebook, facebook.com/VGLosers. That's my Facebook page. You can also go to the forums at popculturenetwork.com. All of those ways that people have used to get a hold of me and tell me that you know, they wanted more wrestling stuff. They liked the wrestling coverage. So we're going to talk some more wrestling stuff. First up, though, I want to clarify something. A couple weeks ago, I did an episode of the show, and I was talking about question I got. I guess it was last week I did this. Got a question from Clone Yoshi, and he was asking about colleges, about film, and I mentioned the Art Institute, School of the Art Institute, Chicago. Somebody on YouTube piped up and said that the art institutes are no good, they don't have good degrees, it's not a place you want to go. And actually, that guy is right. The art institutes are not good schools. However, the School of the Art Institute of Chicago is not part of the art institutes. It is its own entity. It started as the Art Institute of Chicago, and then they started a school, and it's grown from there. The Art Institutes is something completely different, a completely different group of people. So, if anyone else who thought that, well, there you go. We are talking about some different things. This weekend is New York Comic Con. There's a bunch of stuff going on. Marvel is going to be finally revealing a bunch of their books. They've been sending out these teasers all week, and to be honest, I've gotten every single one of them, and I don't even post them on the website, because they're those stupid, it's like a graphic, you know, it's just like a 8.5 by 11 type graphic, and it just says, like, defend, and then it'll have two, a writer and an artist names at the bottom, and that's it. Doesn't tell you what the character is, doesn't tell you when the book is starting, doesn't tell you anything about it, so I don't even run those. I just delete them when they come in. Dark Horse has been doing that. IDW has started doing that. And I hate these comic book companies that do it because it's so worthless. It means absolutely nothing when they tease that kind of stuff. And 9 times out of 10, when they put out a teaser like that, you see the teaser, you think about it, you're like, oh, that'd be so awesome if it was this. And then it turns out it's not that. It's something that's much more disappointing. You know, what you got in your head was much cooler than what they actually came out with. But I will say, one of the cool things going on, New York Comic Con, Mattel is doing a Maddie Palooza. They will be talking about Masters of the Universe Classics, DC, Ghostbusters. Let's see. Toy Guru will be there. He will reveal several upcoming figures. Fans will get the chance to cast their vote for a 2015 new Adventures figure, whether it be Mara, Darius, or Tuscador. Even if a figure doesn't win the fan vote for 2015, it might appear in the 2016 line. Assuming there's a 2016 line. They're killing the line. At the Mattel booth, you can pick up Masters of the Universe Classic Strobo, the traveling figure with the bonus unmasked Zodak head. Hunger Games Catching Fire Katniss doll, PETA doll, and Effie doll. Monster High Webarella doll, and the Back to the Future hoverboard with the last of their remaining stock. Of course, any extra stock that they have will probably end up at your local Big Lots. Also, at their booth, they are going to have an autograph signing with the Four Horsemen. For those of you unfamiliar, the Four Horsemen are the ones that actually sculpt all of the Masters of the Universe Classics toys. So they will be there to meet and greet and sign autographs. Daily at the Mattel booth, fans will be able to launch Superman Quick Shots toys in a target shooting experience for a chance to win a black suit Superman Quick Shots figure. So, Quick Shots, I think, as far as I know, those are those really springy, stretchy, Stretch Armstrong type ones that come with like the little catapult slingshot thing and you put Superman's hands on it, you pull back on his feet and he flies off of there. So anyway, that's at the Javits Center. And that is going on next week. I said this weekend, didn't I? It's next weekend. It's not the next 3 days. It's a week from today. So anyway, you can look forward to that happening at New York Comic Con. Let's see. Some other news that we have. DC HeroClix. They announced Superman and the Legion of Superheroes beginning January 29th. They will have booster packs, Fast Force packs, an organized play kit, and they will have a gravity feed dispenser. That's just one of those big boxes where it has like the little tray at the bottom and you pull one out and other ones drop down underneath it. One of the big ones, they will have Giganta, Black Manta, Mr. Miracle, High Father, but then Lightning Lad, Cosmic Boy, Saturn Girl, Superboy, Lex Luthor. So bunch of cool Superman-themed stuff, Legion of Superheroes themed stuff there. We got Pop Vinyl Star Wars Series 4. This one they announced, let's see, I think it was on Monday. We got the information from that. You're going to get a Wicket Ewok, R2-D2, which I might actually have to buy that one, Lando Calrissian, Jar Jar Binks, Queen Amidala, and Admiral Akbar. And I might get the Admiral Akbar too, because those are just cute. They're just too cute. Really, I mean, seriously. Just take your breath away. NECA released some close-up pictures of their upcoming Predators Series 10 action figure line. For those of you who haven't been following closely, Predators Series 10 are actually going to be an homage to the old Kenner line. So if you had any of those old Kenner figures where they had the weird funky helmets, or the ones that had like the red bodysuit on them, the ones that just seemed like really outrageous, well, NECA has taken those designs and they've worked them into some pretty awesome looking figures, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those Kenner figures started to disappear off the secondary market as people were grabbing those to put side by side with these awesome new NECA ones. The big toy news this week, and this is actually kind of funny that they went ahead and announced this now, but Big Bad Toy Store finally got the information. They announced that the MP22 Masterpiece Transformer Ultra Magnus with Trailer Perfect Edition will be available. It will be based off the updated MP10 Convoy mold. It will come with an all-new fully functional trailer that will combine with the Ultra Magnus cab for the ultimate display piece. Pricing is not yet finalized, but the pre-sale price from Big Bad Toy Store is currently set at $289.99. So basically $290 plus shipping. And I say it's funny that they just announced this, because earlier this week I went to tfsource.com and I thought, you know, I really want an Ultra Magnus. And I looked on there for an Ultra Magnus, and they've got the re-release version, but they didn't have a G1, like an actual real G1. And I kind of, like, do I want to buy this, reissue one? Do I not? And I just about bit the bullet. But I was looking through TF Source, and I ran across some Beast Saga stuff I hadn't seen before. Beast Saga, which is the Japanese version of Battle Beast, the original Battle Beast, not the new... what do they call it? Minimates line, the original. But what they have here are Beast Saga figures that are tiny. They look like little tiny, like maybe 1-inch or 2-inch figures, and they have like this base, this vehicle that kind of folds open. It looks like a cube, and it folds open, and you put these little Beast Saga guys in it. And it's something that's only available in Japan, not available in the United States. And I just thought, wow, I gotta have those. So I actually ordered some of that stuff. This is Jipuroto Vehicle 3, if that means anything to you. And the Jipuroto Base, number 1. So I just went ahead and ordered that stuff. But, of course, now that I've ordered it, they announced this new Masterpiece Ultra Magnus. There's no way I'm paying $290 for a Perfect Edition Ultra Magnus. So now I'm thinking I may actually go back and buy that other, what do they call it? The reissue series. I can't even think of what the commemorative series is. That it? Is that what it's called? Anyway, regardless, So that was the big Transformer news this week. The other, let's see, last piece of toy news, really, this is more of a toy tie-in, not toy news directly, but Skylanders Swap Force, they're making a big push for that because, of course, it is coming out next month. So they're calling Swaptober in October. If you go to Times Square in New York, Thursday, October 10th, or Thursday, Swaptober 10th, if you prefer, they're going to have a giant setup for Skylanders Swap Force. You'll be able to check out the toys, do some playing of the video game. They will have posters to hand out and all kinds of stuff like that. But the collectible figures this time around, the key gimmick is that a bunch of them split at the midsection, and of course you can take the top piece from one, put it on the bottom piece of the other, create your own character. They are also re-releasing a bunch of the regular Skylanders figures, and they will be characters that have been in the other games. They will not be swappable. They don't come apart and switch places, but you can buy, say, the Skylanders Swap Force version of Dark Spyro and use that with Skylanders Giants or with regular Skylanders Spyro Adventures. They will work backwards. All the Giants that you have will work forwards with Swap Force, and then Swap Force adds the new swappable characters. So, in effect, you'll be rebuying certain characters if you want to go out and buy all the figures. But, you know, anyway, that's the big news with Skylanders. On the comic side of things, some stuff to talk about. Oh, that's weird. We have some toy news showing up on the comic site. I need to fix that on the website later. Let's see. We've got some clips from Ultimate Spider-Man Halloween special. We've been talking about that the last few weeks. They sent us a couple clips this week, so if you want to go check that out. We also have a clip from Hulk and the Agents of Smash that they sent us, so that is up on the site. We have a review of All New X-Men 17 and Forever Evil 2. So if you've been reading Battle of the Atom from Marvel or the Villains Month Forever Evil stuff from DC, you can take a look at that. New episode of the Comic Book Chronicles with myself, Agent 70, Nicholas Fury, and Tim Dog. We're all up there. Skylanders Boomcast, which is on the comics. That should be in the toys. It's on the wrong part of the website again. Skylanders Boomcast. Skylanders have started their own kind of video podcast series, whatever, and they sent it to us to embed on the site, so you can go check that out with us as well. So that's some stuff you can see there. The last thing, this is going to bridge toys and wrestling together for all of you guys that just love the wrestling toys. We have information here. McFarlane Toys has signed a licensing agreement with WWE. They are producing an Undertaker statue. It is part of the WWE Icon series. It is a new series of collectible statues that will include both current WWE superstars and legends. They will feature authentic WWE memorabilia, which are highly limited in production. Select statues will feature a limited run of authentic WWE superstar and legend signatures. Each WWE icon statue will be created, developed, and designed by Todd McFarlane and his award-winning McFarlane Toys Design Group in conjunction with WWE, and will be meticulously sculpted and hand-painted to fully realized likeness. So the first toy, they are doing the multiple WWE champion and world heavyweight champion, The Undertaker. It will be 17.5 inches tall, a special base that will include LED spotlights, a plaque highlighting some of The Undertaker's historic accomplishments. Let's see. Each statue will feature a piece of the ring skirt from The Undertaker's Inferno match against WWE superstar Kane from the February 22nd, 1999 edition of Monday Night Raw. It will be limited to 850 pieces, each one sequentially numbered. As an added bonus, it will include a certificate of authenticity hand-signed by Todd McFarlane. $295! And it goes on sale December 6th, 2013. A limited quantity of statues will be available through Diamond Select retailers. So basically, comic book stores, hobby shops, they get their stuff through Diamond Comics. They will have some of the statues available that way. 295 $5. And I bet you they will sell out and people will still want more. Undertaker is just one of those can't lose properties as far as wrestling goes. So there, we just bridged from toys to wrestling. And we're going to talk a little bit of wrestling stuff. One of the things we want to talk about when we get started is I'm not going to do a rundown of the entire episode of Impact from this week. But I do want to talk about the big story of the week, the main story that everyone is talking about, which is, of course, the departure of Hulk Hogan. A lot of people are wondering why TNA would let Hulk Hogan go. And we talked a little bit last week about the fact that Hulk Hogan, even though he is a very marketable name and a very recognizable person within the pro wrestling industry, he is expensive. And because his contract is so expensive, it makes TNA a little less attractive to an outside buyer. Right now, Dixie and Bob Carter, the owners of TNA, are actually trying to sell the company. They're having a very hard time turning a profit. They really don't know how to run a company. For the longest time, it was basically seen as a tax write-off for Panda Energy. It was not, you know, that big of a deal that they lost money on it. It was a tax write-off type of thing, but apparently it's losing way too much money now. They've gone on the road because they thought that if they were to travel and go from town to town and put the superstars in front of different crowds, it would make them look like bigger stars. And it really hasn't worked out that way. Part of the problem is that their entrance just kind of looks so plain and generic. They've got that elevated walkway. It just doesn't have the same feel. They're much smaller arenas than, you know, WWE does their tapings in. They tend to go for a 5 to 7,000 person arena, where WWE is doing 20,000 person arenas. So it does look not as big a deal on TV. I mean, it's better than the Impact Zone, because the Impact Zone, I mean, gosh, there were times they only had, you know, what, 400 people in the Impact Zone. They put them all on the side opposite of the hard camera, and just nobody ever turned around and looked the other direction. But, you know, it's just so expensive to move around, even though they record everything. They record two shows on one night, back to back. So if you go to a TNA taping, you're going to technically a four-hour taping. But that's one of the big pitfalls, you could say, is that it's much more expensive to travel, and it really hasn't made the show look better. It hasn't increased ratings. So they want to sell the company. They want to try to find a permanent place to go, but they do have, you know, taping dates booked through the end of December, so it wouldn't be anything that would happen until next year. They think maybe Las Vegas. Although I don't know that that's going to work really all that well. They're thinking maybe going back to Nashville, where they originally started. That might be okay. Maybe some other place down in Florida. The thing is, they can't go back to the Impact Zone because that studio space has already been rented out to somebody else. There's someone else there filming stuff because TNA left. So they're kind of in a quandary. They want to sell the company to somebody who has a lot of money that can make some investments that can keep it going, but they've been cutting a lot of talent lately. Mickey James is gone. Who else? Tara is gone. Mr. Anderson is gone. D'Lo Brown is gone. Mr. Anderson has said he's trying to sign a new contract. He wants to come back, but there's no official word on anything being worked out there yet. So, you know, it's letting Hulk Hogan go is a cost-saving measure. Even though he's a very recognizable person in the world of professional wrestling, still, he just costs way too much money. So they weren't renewing his contract. And the problem is Hulk Hogan has this clause in his contract that gives him creative control. It was one of the things that he wanted in WWE he could never have. When he went to WCW, he was able to get it, and now he won't go anywhere without that creative control. And what that means is he gets to write his own storylines. It's something that very privileged few have, and he very much abuses it because he doesn't want to make himself look bad. He's afraid to ever let anybody get over on him because he doesn't want that person to quit or him suddenly to be off TV or anything like that. He, you know, he wants to make sure he's the guy who always gets the last word and protects himself at the expense of everybody else. So basically, on this episode of TNA, it was the absolute dumbest segment almost in the history of TNA. AJ Styles, who will be facing Bully Ray for the TNA title, is basically seen as a nobody. Dixie said he's worthless, and his contract doesn't mean anything, and she's not really all that worried about him, and he's the guy sticking around with the company, and he's suddenly a nobody, and he's shoved to the side, no big deal. Hulk Hogan, walking out the door, because the deal that he has with TNA, he books this storyline where Dixie just basically says she's going to play hardball and Hogan's got to play by her rules or he can walk out the door. And so Hogan says, screw you, I'm leaving. And Hogan goes to leave. So Dixie starts to freak out. She starts to cry. She starts to beg. She grabs Hulk Hogan's leg and, you know, tries to stop him from being able to walk away and says, you have to stay. Please don't go. And Hogan, breaks free and just walks out on the company. And Hogan basically sets himself up as being more important than the company because he has that creative control. He doesn't do what's right for business. This is it's the Bret Hart problem. He would complain about Bret Hart till he was blue in the face about Bret Hart not jobbing to Shawn Michaels. And so we got the famous Montreal screw job. But he won't even let anyone get over on him on his way out of the company. He won't put someone over. He won't put AJ Styles over. He says, oh yeah, he loves AJ Styles. AJ Styles is the future of the company. He wants to give AJ Styles this contract. But he won't actually, technically, as far as storyline goes, let AJ get over on anybody on Hogan's way out. It's not as if he did AJ, you know, any favors by having Dixie come out and tear up the contract and tell AJ he's worthless and not that big of a deal. That doesn't do anything to help AJ out. It just makes AJ look stupid. And when Dixie and Hogan have these confrontations, then AJ Styles just leaves. He just walks out and walks away. It's a very terrible. It's like the worst thing that Hogan could have done on his way out of the company, basically. But, I mean, that's Hogan, and he does what he does. And so that was the show itself, as far as the wrestling goes, the segments went on TNA this week, they were all okay. It was a show, you know. It wasn't great, but it didn't make me want to gouge my eyeballs out or stick, you know, pencils in my ears and just keep pushing until the whole world went black or anything like that. But the ending just killed it. If you could have cut out that final segment with Dixie and Hogan, it would have been okay. It would have been all right. But because of that, it just killed the whole show. So if you haven't seen it yet, watch everything up until that point when they say they're going to be doing that segment and then just turn it off and you're fine. You'll enjoy the show a whole lot more. And it won't matter because next week Hogan's gone. It's not going to matter. Whatever he does, whatever he says, whatever, you know, the segment is worthless. It's not going to mean anything. So, that's what I got to say about TNA Impact this week. Now I will talk about Ethan. They've been doing these spots the last few weeks where they're hinting that Ethan is coming. There's some guy, Ethan, going to be appearing in TNA and everybody wants to know, well, who this guy is. Well, it looks like it's going to be Derek Bateman. Derek Bateman is a former WWE developmental guy. He was cut from developmental when the company realized they didn't have any plans for him. They were going to bring him in to do a Mr. USA gimmick against Antonio Cesaro, but for whatever reason, they decided they needed Cesaro for something else. I forget what it was, and they didn't have anything else in mind for him, so they just cut him, because that's what WWE does. WWE has this problem where if the writers can't think of a storyline for a wrestler, they cut the wrestler instead of firing the writers, who are too stupid to be able to write a storyline. So, regardless, Bateman just... he left on good terms. He said, you know, he was polite about everything. He was very nice. And apparently, that caught the attention of TNA, who decided to give the guy a chance, because this is a guy they were just about to pull the trigger on until, you know, WWE just got stupid about the whole thing. So TNA swooped in, it looks like, and they're going to be using him as this character, Ethan. Now, what exactly Ethan is going to be doing, what his gimmick is, I don't know, but we will just have to wait and see how that all plays out. All right, so we have a couple questions here, and these are, like I said, through my Facebook page, facebook.com/VGLosers, or by email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. I guess we'll start... All right, let's start here. Let's start with a email we got from the Barbecue Vulture. And he says, my question for you, which top five people not currently in the WWE Hall of Fame would you like to see inducted and why? You know, news broke today, of all days, that WWE is close to signing a deal with the Ultimate Warrior. This is something that's been rumored for months and months and months and months. It looks like they are brokering a deal for Ultimate Warrior to be in the Hall of Fame. Apparently, they want to use him in the 2K14 video game. Because he's not currently under WWE contract, you know, EA can reach out to him. Because he was in WWE, they want to incorporate him into the game, and they have the ability to use certain assets, but they reached out to him to actually try to get him to be part of the game in a official capacity. And it looks like, because through those talks, they have been able to open up a channel with WWE and possibly bring him in for induction. And it's one of those things, a couple years ago, WWE did that self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, which was, so much of that was historically inaccurate, but, you know, that was what WWE wanted to do. And the reason why Vince wanted to do that is because Ultimate Warrior behind the scenes had been doing a bunch of shoot interviews and whatnot, and he was kind of spilling the beans about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff going on at WWE that Vince just didn't want known. Vince and Triple H were just stuff they didn't want people to talk about. So... lots of the steroid stuff, the drug stuff, some of the sexual rumors that have been going around. Warrior was coming out and coming clean about. And so it pissed off Vince. He did that self-destruction thing. And the two basically were so mad at each other and said such horrible things about each other that it kind of cleared the air and it got everything out of their system. And it opened this ability for them to kind of talk a little bit. So I think Ultimate Warrior does make sense to be in the Hall of Fame. He definitely was one of the biggest stars. I mean, when he was there, it was him and Hogan, you know. And they were the big, was it WrestleMania 6? That they had the match against each other? I forget. But anyway, yeah, it totally makes sense. Ultimate Warrior, for him to be in there, he should be in there. Whether you like him or not, whether you agree with his politics, doesn't matter. He deserves to be there. He should be there. The other rumor that came out is for D-Generation X to be inducted. And this would be the full D-Generation X. This would be Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, X-Pac, and China. They were trying to get all of them together. China is still kind of a holdout. China, you know, she's still upset, obviously, that Stephanie and Triple H had that affair. She's upset that when she learned about it and asked Vince about it, Vince fired her from the company. So whether or not... I don't think it would all hang on whether or not they can get China to agree. And I think China, the way her life has been the last few years... if WWE called and said, we wanted you to be part of this thing at WrestleMania, I'm sure she'd probably agree to it just because she could use the payday and use the notoriety. But whether or not they actually pull the trigger on that is another question altogether. But, I mean, as far as them calling up Shawn Michaels, Jesse James, Billy Gunn, Sean Waltman, and saying, hey, come in and do this, all of those guys, obviously, yeah, they would do it. China would be the only one that would be a question. So, D-Generation X, you kind of have to say, yeah, they deserve to be there, but they wouldn't be in my top five pick. I would say Ultimate Warrior deserves to be there. But I think the one character that people really have been clamoring for, and the guy who really deserves it more than anyone else, is actually Macho Man Randy Savage. Macho Man deserves to be in that Hall of Fame more than, I think, you know, anybody except Hogan. I mean, Hogan and Macho Man, I would say, are the big two that really need to be in there. And the fact that Macho Man hasn't been in there, it all goes back to the disagreement between Vince McMahon and Macho Man, Randy Savage. They had some sort of falling out, and there's always been rumors for years that Randy Savage slept with Stephanie, and everything that I've heard says that's not true. Dave Meltzer doesn't believe it. Guy who does the Torch, whose name I can't think of, he doesn't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't think that's true. The story that I tend to believe is true, and I haven't heard this from a whole lot of places, but the places I have heard it from, I tend to give a little more credence to. And that is that, basically, you know, Randy Savage was a commentator on WWE programming. And he wanted to go back to being a wrestler. He wanted to get in the ring. It's, you know, what he'd always done. It's what he always enjoyed. He wanted to do it. Hogan had left, gone to WCW, and Macho Man saw Hogan, you know, getting back in the ring, having these matches, being a character, and Macho Man wanted to get back in the ring, and he went to Vince, and he said, put me in the ring. He said, I want to wrestle. I don't want to be doing commentary. Let me get back in the ring and wrestle. And Vince basically told him no. He said, you're too old. You don't move like the new guys. There's no place for you. You're past your point. You see Hogan in WCW, but that's a mistake. You know, Hogan can't really do much of anything. You shouldn't get all worked up about it. You got to let it go. If you try to wrestle again, it'll be an embarrassment. You'll make a big fool out of yourself. You'll never be able to have any sort of real momentum. You're not worth it, and you need to stay a commentator. And so basically, when Vince said that to Savage, Savage snapped. He basically told Vince McMahon off. He basically told him he was leaving. He was going to go to WCW. He was going to be a wrestler. And he was going to bury the WWF. And that was going to be that. And so he left. He signed a deal with WCW. And he became a big star over for WCW. And so what it really comes down to is Vince McMahon's ego. And there's a lot of stuff that Vince McMahon has been able to get over, but when it comes to something like Eric Bischoff was not somebody who was Vince McMahon's friend and then turned against him and started, you know, saying bad things about him and whatnot. You know, Eric Bischoff was another guy in another company doing his own thing. Hogan was a big star, but he was kind of done with WWF, and WWF was kind of done with him anyway. They were ready to let him go. He was going to leave and retire, and WCW basically offered him a giant check and brought him out of retirement, so that was a little different. But when it comes to Macho Man, you know, the story goes that Macho Man and Vince had this face-to-face argument, that they basically fought face-to-face about whether or not Macho Man could still get in the ring and perform. And so it's because of that, it's very personal to Vince. And Vince really just does not want to let Macho Man be in the Hall of Fame. But Macho Man's passed away. It's been a couple years. People really want him to be there. And, you know, he is one of those giant names. CM Punk started doing the flying elbow and all that kind of stuff, and it, you know, it played well with the fans. They even released the CM Punk action figure wearing the Macho Man colors because he wore that to the ring, you know, had the stars on the trunks and everything. So it just seems like he needs to be there, and it's getting to be the time where they need to do it. They need to go ahead and just get over it and put Macho Man in. They hate doing these posthumous presentations. They hate having guys who have passed away, but I mean, they do it, and it needs to be done. And I would say, along with Macho Man, you need Miss Elizabeth. She's also passed away several years ago, died of a drug overdose. She deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. She was as much a part of that whole mix of WWF in the 80s as, you know, Macho Man, as Hulk Hogan, as Andre the Giant, and, you know, everybody else. She, you know, everybody always had nice stuff to say about her. Everybody loved her. If they inducted both of them, and even if they did it together, if they were like Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth as some sort of special deal with the two of them, it would just be a great moment. It'd be a beautiful thing. And I think they both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So far I've got Ultimate Warrior, I've got Randy Savage, I've got Miss Elizabeth. Those are three names of the big WWE. But one thing that WWE does is it also kind of moves beyond its borders. They brought in the Von Erichs, they brought in Antonio Inoki, they brought in, you know, whoever. Other people who were not necessarily WWF guys in the past to be part of their Hall of Fame, because they want it to look more like a legitimate, Hall of Fame. I think somebody that they need to induct would be Pat O'Connor. Pat O'Connor was a great, great wrestler back in the day. Pat O'Connor, several years ago, I was at a gas station, and this was a decade ago when wrestling was still really hot in the early 2000s. And they had a tape of old wrestling matches, and on there, one of them was a Pat O'Connor match. And I swear, that match had to have been from 1954. Black and white TV match. He was in a ring where the ropes were so loose, like they couldn't even really slingshot off of them. They just had to kind of run to the ropes and kind of slow down and stop and try to shift their momentum the other way and run the other way. But it was great watching him wrestle. In that match from 1954, I was more enthralled than watching most of the stuff that was happening on Raw and SmackDown at the time. And even still to this day, if I run across old tapes, old DVDs that have some Pat O'Connor matches on them, I'll snap those up in a heartbeat. I love watching his stuff. He was so good. And he was a huge force in the NWA and the AWA. In both of those places, he made a big name for himself. He was the world heavyweight champion in the late 50s, early 60s. He was a tag team champion. He was the NWA British Empire heavyweight champion, which was this like random old Canadian belt. He used to have matches with guys like Buddy Rogers and Vern Gagne and Harley Race and Wilbur Snyder, all of those great classic names from old wrestling. Pat O'Connor is, unfortunately, he's really been passed by a lot, and he's one of those guys that really made a huge impact to professional wrestling. And really, I just think that he needs to get some credit that he deserves, and they really need to put him in there. And you could... you could make the argument, because he did work briefly to Vincent McMahon's Capital Wrestling. Let's see if I can pull this up real quick. Trying to see if I can find some information on Capital Wrestling real quick. It was an early promotion before the Worldwide Wrestling. I don't know. Anyway, can't find the information on it. But still, he wrestled in Vince McMahon Sr.'s show. And so because of that, you can make that connection there for Buddy Rogers. And I think that's something that makes sense. The last guy, I would say, my number five guy, is a guy whose contract is coming up due at the end of the year for the current promotion he works with, which means it would be perfect for them to swoop him, sign him, have him do something for WrestleMania Hall of Fame, and then he can go back to doing whatever he wants to do, and that's Sting. Sting is, he was such a huge force in National Wrestling Alliance, in WCW, and now in TNA. He's the guy that really, he brings legitimacy to TNA like nobody else. More than Hogan, because Hogan doesn't wrestle. Sting is like, he's 54, 55. He doesn't look like it. Still has a good set of hair. Still has good looking skin. Still in shape. And he can still move. He can still wrestle. I mean, he doesn't look like he did, you know, in 82. But for a guy as old as he is, he does a tremendous job still to this day. He's had some of the classic matches, with Ric Flair over the years, Kevin Nash, Goldberg. He's just known as such a great guy, a tremendous wrestler, and plus, he and Ultimate Warrior came up together. They were a tag team called the Blade Runners together, which was supposed to be the WWE knockoff version of the Legion of Doom. And they were, two guys with good physiques and face paint, and that was supposed to be their thing. It didn't last very long, didn't go very far. Sting left, went back to NWA. But, Sting is a guy who deserves a lot of credit for the NWO and for that whole storyline. His taking on the Crow face paint, him doing the Joker face paint, adding that kind of stuff to his look, his repertoire, just shows that he's, he's still watching pop culture. He's still reacting to the world around him. He's still, playing along with all of it. And this is the cool thing. Most people don't know this, but he actually owns the name Sting. That singer guy from The Police? That singer guy, when he puts out an album or whatever, he pays a royalty to Steve Borden because Steve Borden owns the name Sting. My sister, several years ago, she lived in St. Louis. And she had a friend who worked at a hotel, and she was over at the hotel, and everybody who worked at the hotel was, like, running over to the poolside area, and they were, like, looking out the window and whispering, and she's like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, it's Sting. And she goes, really? And she walks, and she looks out, and there's some guy with dark hair and dark sunglasses on laying by the pool, and she's like, that's not Sting. And they're like, yeah, that's Sting, the wrestler. Because, for her, she thought Sting was, the guy from The Police, but everybody else, St. Louis area, Sting means the professional wrestler. Georgia means Sting is the professional wrestler. I mean, he is a name that is synonymous with professional wrestling, and he's a guy that just needs to be in a wrestling Hall of Fame. If you have a wrestling Hall of Fame that's got Hulk Hogan, that's got Ric Flair, that's got The Rock, that's got, all those other names, it needs to have Sting. So, I mean, that's my five. Sting, Ultimate Warrior, Pat O'Connor, that's your legend guy that you're going to bring in, Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. They're the five people that need to be in that Hall of Fame. And they're my reasons why. That I've bored you all to death with. Sorry, didn't mean to do that. But anyway, guys, some of you have been asking Mike Snyder here on Facebook. Love the TNA Wrestling Talk, wants me to keep talking TNA, so hey Mike, I'm going to keep talking TNA as long as you're responding that you're listening and you enjoy it. When you hate it, you don't like me talking about TNA anymore, then I'll stop talking about it. Some of you guys have asked if I could talk about ROH, since my hometown is a Sinclair station, and technically we do get it here. Asked if I could cover it. I will try. I don't watch it all the time. Like I said, it's on middle of the night on our Sinclair station Saturday nights, and it's one of those things where, because it's on cable, everything's through digital cable now, I don't have a DVR. I still VCR shows that I want to watch, and it's, you got to make sure that you leave it on that channel when you turn off the TV, so that'll be the channel going to the VCR so you can record it. So we'll see if I can remember to pull all that off, start recording ROH. Although I think, because I have a Sinclair station, I may be able to stream it through the ROH website. They used to do that, and I did that for a while. I just hate watching it on my computer. I like watching TV on my TV. I'm weird that way, but anyway. All right, so I'll see what I can do about ROH, but we'll keep talking about TNA. I hate doing recaps of whole shows, because then I'm just, I don't know. It feels, I get sick of hearing my own voice for so long. But we'll talk about stuff that's going on in storyline. We'll talk about stuff behind the scenes. And if there's any big, you know, WWE news, if you want to ask any questions, I'll see if I can find answers for it. But, you know, we'll discuss that stuff as well. So, anyway, guys, that's it for this week's episode of Pop Culture Network Radio. As always, if you have any questions, comments, you can go to jointheforums.com, the official message boards of the Pop Culture Network. You can send me a tweet. It's PCN underscore dirt, at PCN underscore dirt, I guess. You can send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com, or facebook.com/VGLosers, because the video game Losers was the original birth of the Pop Culture Network. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.